Hello again, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 172 of the NLSC podcast. I'm Andrew. I'm joined by Ben, also known as Arcane.
Hey, everyone.
And Kenny.
Hey, guys.
So here we are, another week, another digital broadcasting adventure for us. We're starting late because we got on and then just started joking around and talking to one another about everything but basketball video games. It's kind of the way it goes when we're warming up. Do you remember Ben once Leon joined us for a show and said, "Do you guys do vocal exercises or anything?" Like, yep, that's what we're doing right now when we're just hanging around talking about absolutely nothing. So that's our vocal exercises. But nevertheless, here we are to talk about our favorite subjects, although not always have positive opinions about them, but we'll get to that in short time. But this week we do have some news about NBA 2K17 of a kind. Details about the game still very scarce at this point, but we do actually have some screenshots, if nothing else, and it appears as though the first batch of screenshots will all be comprised of the Team 2K athletes, the Team 2K players, starting with the cover player Paul George, and Kyrie Irving and Jimmy Butler have also been released. So let's see, who would that leave?
Draymond
Green, Kevin Durant,
Karl-Anthony Towns,
and Andre Drummond. I'm guessing those will be the next players featured in the screenshots, but so far we have Butler, George, and Irving. A lot of people have been weighing in on social media and in the forum, and around the OS and around the internet, of course, wherever anyone's talking about basketball games, about the screenshots. I'm terrible when it comes to critiquing graphics, because I will accept less. Unless it's really something is really, really wrong, of course I will point that out, and you know, I can see the game, so I can see the issues. Well, the big thing, I guess, and we were talking about it, Ben, before we started recording, is the body types. You know, that some of the players look a bit bulky, but the face for Paul George looks pretty good, as does Irving. Butler, maybe the angle not so great, but the face still looks a bit off. But the thing that I think you pointed out, as we were talking, a lot of people pointed out, is that the lighting looks much better, much like 2K14 next gen.
Yeah, it looks more dramatic, sort of realistic, and helps with the depth of field as well. And it also helps in the skin tone, I think, looking a little bit more real looking. So yeah, I think that's probably the biggest take I take from it. From all the screenshots, I mean, Kyrie looks good, but it's kind of hard to tell because he's kind of covering his face to get a proper look at it. But yeah, a lot of the body types, just they look too big. And I was making the comparison, and it kind of reminded me of like 2K11 and all that stuff, 2K10, 2K11, where the body types look too big. So and yeah, you posted a thread in regards to one of our forum members who's, you know, done a bit of research into the body types and stuff, and yeah, it's really unsuggesting that there's 7 body types, which is kind of disappointing. You know, I think there should be a little bit greater variety.
That's PeaceMeetNot, who is a modder, of course, in our community. It's done some great research, very well illustrated in the post, the 7 body types with the examples of the players and an animated GIF, or GIF if you prefer, illustrating some of the changes by changing and comparing it to other players and how they don't change. You know, the variation is there. A lot is being made of the use of the word body scans, because that is the word that 2K has been using, the term that they've been using, I should say. And I think a lot of people have taken it to mean that they were scanning in like all the dimensions and 3D modeling the bodies, kind of the way they're doing the faces, which is obviously not the case. If they've only got the 7 body types, they're really just doing the textures for the tattoos and everything, which I knew they were definitely doing that. But, I mean, a miscommunication on 2K's part that was never corrected. people might say that's being kind by calling it a miscommunication. It's hard to tell with some of the buzzwords and everything these days what's what, but very interesting to see and very well illustrated, the 7 body types, and I know he's posted that on Reddit as well. But if that is probably perhaps the biggest thing about the players in 2K. I mean, some of the faces do look a little bit little bit strange here and there. And we talked about Jordan and Barkley and Stockton in the Dream Team screenshot, how the it's, and certainly the facial expressions they were making didn't do them any favors either. But yeah, the faces for Irving, as you said, hard to say with the hand in front of his face, looks fine. George, the face looks really spot on, I would say, and you'd really want to do that being the cover player and all. It's I remember NBA Live 2004, Vince Carter's face was not particularly good, which is very embarrassing as he was the cover player in Live that year. So you definitely want to get your cover boy right, which they have done, at least as far as the face, body looking a bit bulky. It is what it is. The lighting does look a lot better, as we said. It all comes down to how the game plays, of course. I mean, we can get fantastic looking players and realistic players, but if the gameplay is not enjoyable, it doesn't really matter. And that we'll get to that shortly. But anything to add about these screenshots, Kenny?
Yes, let me weigh in on this one. I've been waiting to make that joke ever since you said weighing in, Andrew. But I mean, honestly, I don't see much when it comes to screenshots. Like, it doesn't really get me very excited for the game because at the end of the day, it's a basketball game. And yeah, I mean, I honestly don't know what else to say. I just want to know, like, about features more so now, like, since we're, what is it, a month out now?
Less than a month to early tip-off weekend. Yeah, 16th is the early tip-off, 16th September. So
yeah, so it, yeah, I guess it's a little hard for me to get hyped just on screenshots alone. So I bring mean, on the yeah. features.
Going back to the first 3D, perhaps the first 3D game, NBA Live 98 doesn't hold up that well graphically. I mean, that not a lot of games around that time don't. PS1 era games don't. Nintendo 64 especially, that versions. But you know, some of those early games, around the 2003-2004. We'd see the screenshots, and they look impressive at the time. They looked impressive anyway, but you know, so screenshots that look nice in some way are nothing new with video games, obviously, and basketball games and sports games. So at this point, we know the games are going to look pretty good. That's never been our biggest complaint. I don't think any of us have ever said, you know, except jokingly about shoelace physics and everything, pre-order cancelled, of course.
Sweat.
Yeah,
and all those details. You know, all those. Next gen stuff is nice, but you know, it's, if that's really making or breaking the game for you, I think you may be overlooking some issues, is all I'm saying in that respect.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people are saying, you know, in response to the screenshots, or once again, they promoted the pre-order bonuses the other day, and people, I had to look at the responses on Twitter because I knew what some of them would be, and I was not wrong or disappointed in seeing it, and I was. I mean, this is not to be hating on 2K, but it has been a very lackluster preview season. And so I was happy to see people saying, well, where is the gameplay? Where are the features? Where's information? You know, something more than just screenshots. So, and I hear that in your voice, Kenny.
So, I can't really remember the timeline of 2K16, but surely it was well over a month before it was due when we found out about, like, 2K Pro-Am and stuff like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, because 2K Pro-Am was announced when I was over there for the NBA Live 16 event, playing live Pro-Am, actually, which hadn't been announced yet. So that would have been, like, July.
Okay.
When that was...
So it was, like... So,
yeah.
2K16, it was a lot easier to get hyped because they had 2K Pro-Am, they had this whole idea of a story, which... You know, seemed fantastic at the time, but obviously failed to live up to many of our expectations. But at least they kind of gave us something to be hyped about. Like,
yeah.
I find it hard to get excited about a game when all I see is screenshots, which look fine, but yeah, like nothing really differentiates like 2K17 from 2K16 just by seeing screenshots, like, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it may look a bit nicer, but the issues that we've been talking about on the podcast and in the forum and other people have been discussing all over the basketball gaming community, social media and OS and NLSC, of course, you know, has any of that stuff been addressed? And what is new, apart from league expansion in my GM and my league, which does sound great, as we've said before. You know, we are looking forward to that.
Absolutely.
But you know, what else have some of the AI issues with been fixed up in both gameplay and game modes, as far as, you know, some of the under the hood logic and such in my league and my GM? Has that been addressed? Are there any other new features? What has been done with Pro-Am? And absolutely,
last... To minimize cheese in particular.
Absolutely. And, you know, how does the game feel in the sticks? What's been changed? What are the controls like this year? Is anything different? So people are drawing the conclusions that there isn't that much gone into it, which I'm sure isn't the case, but it doesn't help when we haven't heard anything. And absolutely, last year, if you look back at 2K16, information probably starting from bits and pieces in June, July, and then certainly through August, we were hearing about improvements, new teams, the new retro teams that were going in. They were releasing those every week, or a couple of days, every Thursday. Yes, every Thursday leading up to the release, and there were 12 new teams, so two per week. So 6 weeks out, we were starting to get, you know, big tidbits every single week, and then some developer blogs and videos and all that kind of stuff. And that just hasn't been there yet. Less than a month away from the early tip-off weekend release. So it is hard to get hyped. And I wrote an article about it, you know, the previous season and everything. And I'd love to get hyped, you know. And I'm sure that the game is going to be competent at the very least and satisfactory in many ways. But I too, am hard, you know, it's hard to get, you know, really hyped without knowing what we're in for. And even if it's something... another Spike Lee story, another Spike Lee joint. You know, it would at least be something to sink our teeth into and be interesting to talk about. But we don't even have that.
Yeah. I mean, even the hashtag Be The Story was something that created so much intrigue because everybody wanted to know how we were going to be the story.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What's the new one? Is it It's Not A Game or something like that?
We're not hearing anything about it. So, is it not a game, or?
Well, will there be a game?
Yeah.
Or?
Well, maybe
spoiler alert. I think.
Or
it is
where
a game.
Is the game?
Where are the previous hashtag? I mean, yeah. Obviously, 2K have not failed to put out a game yet. Please direct your hate mail to Ben@NBA-Live.com. I can say that because I haven't set it up. spoilers. Yeah. No, but it is disappointing, and this is sort of going into something else we have on the docket this week. You know, no substantial news, and of course, having said this, maybe it'll all come pouring out, and I don't know, maybe the Olympics are getting in the way, and people think that the attention is all being drawn out there, and they're just going to push it out. But I mean, with such an early release, the release getting earlier and earlier, you would think the information would start to come through as well, and it's kind of insulting, I think, to the gamers that they're pushing the pre-order bonuses. And we've said this before, where they're pushing the pre-order bonuses, and put your money down. And, well, okay, yes, you've got a pretty good track record.
What are we going to get? Yeah.
You have a pretty good track record, you know, 2K. Well, if you look at the general reaction from gamers and Metacritic scores and all that kind of stuff, you know, they're doing well. And I think that it'll be a very satisfactory product in many respects, 2K17. But... yeah, to say people, you know, put your money down and pre-order a game that you haven't really seen anything about, it's kind of arrogant, to be honest.
See, from all this smack we're talking about it, we're kind of trying to get a response. So, yeah, they'll probably drop something tomorrow.
Hey,
look, it's going to be half an hour to an hour after we finish recording. It'll be an info drop.
Well, I'll see if I can record. I'll stay up and make sure this goes out as soon as possible this time, because I have been posting a bit later the last couple of weeks. So I'll see, you know, the quicker we can get this out, the less stupid we'll look, you know.
Yeah.
Look, I will freely admit that there's a good chance that if the news drops within the next week or so, there'll be a lot of good news, potentially. It's just... you know, it's kind of sucks that we've had to wait so long to get it, is all.
I would just love to know more about the expansion mode, because that's the real selling point 2K17 for me. Like, I want to know what's the expansion draft going to be like, how many protected players are going to be, whether you can take that into my league online, because as we discussed before the show, it'd be kind of cool for, like, me to run one expansion team, maybe you to run another. I don't know. Maybe get a third one in there if Ben wants to join in. But yeah, That would be amazing.
Ben's got to get the game first. Well,
yeah.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Like, for me, you know, if there is any chance that I'm going to buy the game, there's got to be a lot of the underlying under the hood issues and stuff that, you know, that have frustrated me the last 4 or 5 years of playing. And, you know, how do I want to waste my money if I feel like the game, its problems still exist in that? So, you know, if they fix up even half of them this year, like half of the problems that sort of bother me, from mainly things from passing to some of the teammate like logic and obviously the cheese crap that we're experiencing in Pro-Am and that, I'll be fairly happy. A few visual things I think they could improve on and stuff, obviously. But yeah, just the CPU over control. If they fix that, and I'll be happy enough, and then I might actually consider getting the game.
So they're going to have to drop a hell of a lot of really good information in the next couple of weeks to get you to pre-order, Ben. Like, they're going to have to, you know, it's going to have to really impress.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't want to say they're just skating on their name and stuff at the moment, but there's just too much of the older stuff that they got to fix for me, for me to really enjoy the game, because it's those little, they might be like small to other people and that, but it's enough for me to, like, for me personally to get disinterested. If you know, if they're gonna have the same issues, well then I might as well just play the same freaking game I've already owned and save like $100 or whatever.
At least until the servers get shut down anyway. So
yeah, exactly. And I mean, the only modes and stuff that I'd be playing, and that, I suppose that one does require the online service aspect with the whole VC stuff. So, but yeah, I'd need to get something excited and say yes, they're finally fixing up those glaring issues. So, but at the moment, yeah, it's a safe $60 to $100 in my pocket at the moment. So.
My pocket.
My pocket, yeah.
My wallet, yeah.
My VC.
My VC. You're going to save your RC, your real currency.
Yep.
That's like saying you're saving your ass. I just realized as soon as I said it, I regretted it.
I'm happy like putting that money elsewhere, other games or...
around the internet, I don't think you're alone. I think a lot of people are. You know, and as I said, I think they do have the track record. I understand why you don't want to. I mean, I'm obviously looking to create a lot of content for the site apart from the podcast, so I kind of need to have the game at one point. But I am interested, and I do have a certain level of trust in the guys at Visual Concepts. But at the same time, I'm a bit unimpressed at this previous season. Partly, I guess, because it makes it harder to do content for the site when there's no game to talk about during the previous season. But as a gamer, I'd like to get hyped and it's hard. I mean,
And for me, like, sorry to take over on that, but the whole thing, like, with some of the modes and stuff like that, it's felt like the Simpsons reference with the whole Malibu Stacy.
Yeah,
she's got a shiny. She's got a new hat.
A new hat. Yeah.
You know, but it's not,
in this case, addressing. Kobe hoodie.
Yeah. So yeah, it's that element of it, and you know, instead of fixing the glaring issue, like of in the case of Malibu Stacy, where it's a sort of a sexism sort of thing. Like, don't ask me, I'm just a girl.
I want you doing the Malibu Stacy as my ringtone. By the way, we'll record it again after the show. My message tone.
With this voice right now? Yeah, all right. Yeah. should make it interesting.
Be fantastic. I just wanna, but no, you're absolutely right. It's, you know, and that's, again, I do feel there is, you know, a bit of arrogance in that to say, well, you know, we are, you know, we're 2K, you've seen what we've done. And it's like, well, yes, but also we do have our complaints and we'd like to see them addressed. And all you've said is, you know, Kobe Hoodie and Dream Team. And Dream Team probably should be in the game by default, you know, not a pre-order bonus.
Yeah,
so.
Regardless. Yeah.
And people say, why have NBA Live? And there's a lot of reasons to have NBA Live. You know, we've talked about why we want to see Live succeed and all that, you know, not just our personal attachment to it as the game we grew up with, but also so that we have genuine alternatives. But if nothing else, having another game out there coming out at the same time means 2K is actually more likely to put the news out. So even if you have no interest in Live, people, the simple fact if Live was coming out at the same time, 2K would probably be releasing more information. So there's your reason for wanting Live to be around, to actually get some 2K information. But I mean, I do feel we're probably going a little bit round in circles here. So I guess to wrap up, we'll mention, of course, that it's 2K17 is going to be at Gamescom this week in Germany, which means we're probably going to see some over-the-shoulder footage and some impressions. Again, it'd be nice to actually get something from that, but at the same time, that over-the-shoulder footage, it's never fantastic quality. It really relies on the people playing the games, knowing how to play basketball games, because you can take a game that is a pretty good game and make it look absolutely terrible. If the person playing it has no idea and is just chucking up shots from 40 feet, although Stephen Curry does that these days, so, you know, I guess it's no longer completely unrealistic, maybe, but certainly a sloppy play, you know. It's not...
Yeah, and,
not,
you know...
Sorry, go on.
Sorry. Yeah, it was, like, looking to... What was it, Live 14 or 15 in that when Scott OG... Live 14 in that when Scott OG showed people how to actually play the game, it looked a lot better.
As opposed to,
you know, just amateurs who just, you know, just had picked up the controllers and that and actually hadn't spent time playing it.
And they're not playing sim basketball, they're just running and gunning and not doing it well. And
so it made a hell of a difference, and I was like, okay, I can actually see some good in this, even though, yes, the game may not have been entirely pretty itself, that you could see that there was something there.
The
you know, it wasn't
absolutely.
Yeah.
And people said the same thing about 2K to Gamescom and saying, oh, you know, it looks terrible. Like, well, first of all, it's a very blurry camera phone over the shoulder, so you can't tell how good the graphics are for a start. And also, look at this person running around like they have no idea how to play basketball and tossing up a shot from 40 feet. You know, that's probably not going to happen in the game. When you play, it's not going to go that way.
Or maybe in Pro-Am.
Well, yeah.
Yet they'd still beat us in Pro-Am a bit as well.
Oh, yeah.
Man. We'll get there. We'll certainly get there, gentlemen. Short order. So, I mean, it will be nice to have that information coming out of Gamescom because it's been so scarce in this previous season.
I'm hoping there's articles in the next like 24 hours from even if it's like IGN, Games Informer, and all that stuff. You know, Gamescom really sort of officially started last night and that. So,
yeah, I think there's some people from OS there as well, so we might be getting some community impressions. And I would always listen to community impressions because some of the IGN articles and everything do tend to be a bit sort of gloss over some of the issues and everything that we're really interested in, but people who've been playing the games and really passionate about the games, you know, from our community, from OS and wherever, they will actually be looking at that stuff and giving impressions as basketball gamers, not just people who have a more casual interest in it, which makes me sound like a real pretentious snob about the situation. But, you know, it's... For example, give me a soccer game. I couldn't really tell you if it was that good or not because I don't follow the sport that closely and don't play the games. Oh, yeah, you know, that's good kicking. you know, it's what you know, and I feel we do know basketball games, and obviously a lot of other people in the basketball gaming community do. So those are the impressions to trust and some of the footage, you know, that shows people actually playing the game competently. I think always take those previews with a grain of salt because, yeah, you're not always getting the people who really know what they're doing, and it shows, unfortunately. But as long as they're having fun, I suppose. But yeah, it's hard for us when we're all waiting for so much information about the game. But also should mention before we move on that the EuroLeague teams have been confirmed again. I thought that had already been the case, but the list is out there. You can check that out in the forum as well. I believe they're the same teams as last year. No surprise there. Only national teams that are confirmed at the moment are the 92 Dream Team pre-order, 2016 Team USA, and 2016 Boomers. But I would imagine that other teams will be in there as well. As well as we're doing, I can't imagine that entering this tournament as the 11th ranked team, that it's like, well, we've got to get the Boomers in and no one else. So
yeah.
even though there's no official word yet, I think we can take it as read that there are some other FIBA teams in there. Because I don't think they've just got the Australian Boomers in there. Although I'm very glad they have. I'm glad to see the Aussies in there. especially the way we're playing, but we'll get to that in a little bit. But anything else about the previous season or the screenshots or anything before we move on?
Just release info, do something, video, anything. Preferably video gameplay showing some of the improvement. That's, you know, screenshots, don't do it anymore. This is not the mid-90s, early 2000s and stuff. I think video is more needed. Give a technical demonstration. You've got the Czar and obviously OG there. You know, they're great at breaking down that stuff. Utilize them. From what I understand, you might have Shady as well, so he can help with the video presentation stuff. So, yeah, just utilize the stuff that you got to the best capabilities of being able to demonstrate the improvements in the gameplay, providing they're there, obviously.
Absolutely, well said. And hashtag, this is not a preview season.
Yep.
So, while we've been waiting for NBA 2K17 news, and basically because we kind of like basketball games, as you might imagine, doing a lot of content on them week in and week out, you know, we have been playing basketball video games fairly recently, so it has come time to talk about our week in basketball gaming.
Puts it down! What a play!
Oh, that's a sweet finish right there.
And, guys, I wrote an article on for the Monday tip-off when I talked about when it's time to shelve a game, and this came about because of our session of 2K Pro-Am last week, which was probably our worst session. Like, even as soon as we stopped playing, we kind of hung out and talked in the PSN party for a bit after we decided we wouldn't play any more games. But we all kind of agreed that was pretty much our worst session that we've ever had of 2K Pro-Am.
Yeah, it was just, nothing felt good about it, you know, it just, and yeah, as a couple of us, all three of us posted that video of you getting screwed on that 3-point buzzer beater.
Yeah, so
with a post in the account, that just left the nastiest taste in our mouth, like we'd just eaten something that we shouldn't have, or drank something we shouldn't have. Like 3-year-old milk. That's how sour it was. That's how sour of a player left.
It was, you know. But, you know, we might sound salty, but it was definitely sour. Is the the taste that's in our mouth. the three that was waved off for Joey Crawford reasons, I can only imagine. We looked at the video and we thought maybe that the ex had might have accidentally committed offensive interference, but nothing was called. So I'm guessing not. I'm guessing it's just a bug, which, I mean, the bugs happen. It's very easy for us to sit here and say it'd be, oh yes, it's very simple to make a complex basketball sim that has absolutely no problems at all. Obviously not. But I don't think I've ever come across anything that blatantly bad of a gameplay bug of a shot not counting when it definitely should have, like a buzzer beater. And the fact we were down at the time, that was like the first thing that had gone our way in a couple of minutes, I think. And so, like, oh, okay, we at least end the first half on a high. Oh, no, we don't.
Yeah, it was like, it just totally killed the excitement that we had from that play. I was like, yes, okay, we've got a chance to come back now. And it's like,
No, momentum gone. And
yeah, that was certainly one of the most egregious things I've ever seen in online play. And, like, I remember watching through the replay after I'd been, I'll admit, I intentionally fouled myself out of that one. I was frustrated. Mm. When I was looking through the footage, I came up with a reason that I thought they might give us if, you know, OG or Mike Wang ended up responding to one of us. But yeah, X basically said that he didn't get penalized for it, which in a game that really does penalizes your mistakes.
Oh yeah.
Like, just kind of proves that, you know, nothing happened that should have counted. Left your hand, I think, with a second left. So
close to 2 seconds left. I got it off you know, fairly early, so
it certainly wasn't a case of you know, a split second here or there. It was out of your hands well and truly, like with a lot of time left to go. So
Yeah,
that's you know, certainly left me scratching my head and, you know, left us all feeling very frustrated, particularly since we didn't win a single game in that session. And
it wasn't coming together for us in that one. And, you know, we don't dominate, obviously, as we've joked about before, but we usually have some competent games and some victories here and there. But it seemed like every gameplay quirk that can ever go against you was going against us. I tried a fancy pass, you know, just whip it over to Leo, to Valor, and just threw it over my shoulder into the crowd. That was the pass it chose for me. And it's funny because it picked up my mic on the recording that I've got of me giving my profane answer to it, my profane reaction to it. Which is, we'll play it again.
It was appropriate, yeah.
It was appropriate, yeah, but it's just my reaction. It's like, oh, that's what I sound like when I'm upset about a video game. You know, it's like this whole Naked Lunch moment where you realize that's what you're doing, screaming at a video game. That's just a video game at the end of the day. But it was frustrating trying to get it. But as I said in the article, there's still part of me that just wants to figure it out. And that's what's got me wanting to still have a go at 2K Prime as long as, you know, the rest of you guys are up for a few games. It's just figuring out, okay, what is it that... Because we know basketball. You know, we've all played competitively or socially at some point. Ben still does, getting back into it. And Ben's coached. And we've played basketball video games for a lot of years. We follow the sport. We have a fairly good understanding of the sport, and our strategy is pretty. Didn't know whether I want to say strategy or strategic. Our strategy is pretty solid, and sim, and that may be the problem in online. It just feels like, and we've maxed out the characters, or Kenny has, and the rest of us have built up the characters, my players. There you go, wanting to get back into Fallout too much. I'm saying characters instead of players. No, my Fallout. we do so much right, I feel. And yet, and for it to not be rewarded is frustrating on top of that. But also this idea of, it's what's keeping me hooked. That and, you know, the social aspect and getting on and joking around with you guys, obviously. But just feels like there's something to crack. Like a secret.
Well,
yeah.
I think... there might have been a clue in something that you said just before, and that's, we know basketball. Maybe that's what's going wrong with us. The fact that we know good basketball and what makes good basketball players. Mm. Because the people that win against us, they run around in circles, they zigzag from the corner to the top of the key, they do all that stuff, and they win against us. Mm. So the fact that we know basketball fairly well might be working against us.
Yeah, which is depressing.
Well, like, maybe that's cynical, but, you know, it seems to have some truth to it. You look at our win-loss records, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, just saying.
Do we need to work on these video game tactics? You know, what in our strategy, in our strategic but approach, needs to change?
But then there's the downfall that we sink to their level. When, you know, when we're playing... what would be authentic basketball, and yet we have to stoop to the childish way of playing. We have to stoop to like Trump level to try and win a game.
Well,
that may sound funny, but it's kind of true. It's sad that if we have to do that, and then for a game that, you know, does proclaim to be so sim, and the user, like the players, that demanded to be so simulated do not play that way at all when it comes to it.
When it comes to winning and losing, oh, suddenly sim goes out the window. So
yeah, it's
I'd like to point out as well that I didn't watch a whole lot of the Road to the Final videos, but in the one I watched, it did look fairly sim. So there is a great like potential to play that kind of basketball in 2K Pro-Am. Mm. But I'm just wondering, like,
but see, then again,
were those people playing that kind of basketball because they were in such a moderated environment? I mean, they were being recorded by 2K devs.
Yeah.
So of course they're not going to be like zigzag up and down, you know, all that kind of stuff. So,
but obviously they play very competently in that style as well. So I mean,
they do.
Just be the opponents. Obviously we're playing, you know, on the service that we have. It's the Australian servers, you know, the Oceania servers or whatever. I mean, it could just be the competition that we're being put up against is not Sim. It could be that, you know, that that Australia is an arcade basketball country, maybe. You know, who knows?
Arcade nation.
Arcade nation. Yeah, we are hashtag arcade nation, yeah. So John, if you want to move here, that's the next
move. He does play on our server quite a bit, so, that's you know.
That's true.
He has seen it.
Although John doesn't play as arcade as he sometimes makes him out to be, exactly his style to be. Well, certainly when he's playing with us, it's you know. But yeah, that does suggest that realistic style should work potentially. So again, it's kind of like, well, what tricks, what moves are we not taking into account? Because we've been playing these games for a long time, we're fairly competent on the sticks and everything, so. It tasks me. This trying to figure out exactly where we're going wrong, and if we can ever get it and get a run of what's a good goal? Three in a row, three wins in a row that don't include a quit, a rage quit.
I would say two in a row at this point.
Two in a row.
But,
given the way things probably been the last 2 weeks, yeah, two in a row would be nice without a rage quit. Three in a row would feel like Christmas came early.
But I mean, I'll put it out there. I'm definitely willing to play a few more games before 2K17 comes out, just to see. You know, and it's fun to hang out on a Friday night or whatever with you guys, anyway. So
that's the
main thing. It's the social aspect of it. But yeah, I'd love to be able to just to figure it out. But it does get to a point, as I said in the article, where certainly if you're not enjoying it, I think if we had too many more sessions like last week, I'd say, guys, let's find something else. Let's just do some 2-on-2 on my court or something. Just to, you know, or 3-on-3 or whatever. Because Pro-Am is obviously not doing it for us. And there's no point torturing yourself with a game you're not enjoying. You know, you put it aside and play something else. But I'm just not quite there yet. Not quite there, because it's something we can figure out.
Yeah.
We're smart fellas. We can do this.
The thing for me is, I'm not suggesting that they completely do away with the arcade element in NBA 2K17. I just think it should be reserved for my park, because, you know, that is like the scenario where it kind of fits to, because you are in like a street element where the rules are kind of more relaxed. So, yeah, if they want to have like, if they want to be more relaxed on, say, like the zigzagging and, you know, just
the corner three crap,
yeah, the cheese in general, fine. That's good for my park. But when it comes to like 2K Pro-Am, which is supposed to resemble like an organized game, maybe cut it out a bit.
Yeah, it's we'll have to see. We'll have to see if we have a better session this week. I certainly hope so, because it. Usually we have at least a couple of games where we have fun, and that was what struck me about last week, is that none of us were having fun in any of the games we played, I don't think. I mean, outside of a couple of plays did work out. I think there was one, I think I had one moment where I just got frustrated and managed to go down the lane for a reverse dunk, and that kind of excited us when that just sort of broke out of nowhere. But apart from that, it was just so difficult and not competitive, and you know, we didn't have anyone taunting us this week, so that was nice. All the jerks I ran into this week were in Rocket League, oddly enough. So, yeah, I guess we'll have to see what we do this week. But it obviously left an impression on me, because I haven't actually played any basketball games all week apart from that.
I've done a little bit. Like, I've gone back to Micro because I'm trying to get my player leveled up and that. And I've actually been enjoying Micro a little bit more at the moment, because, you know, I've got a challenge of trying to get a triple double every game now.
Right, right.
Yeah, and I think there's only been one where I was like one assist short, and I couldn't get that assist because the game wasn't letting me.
I've been there trying to get a double double in my 2013 career, and just like pass it to the teammate, and they pass it out to someone else. No, shoot, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
I want that assist.
or the throw in a stupid pass where it's like no, or it go to the wrong person intended to, where you got the person cutting, but it's like a person out in the baseline or this 3-point line, and it's like it's not where I was wanting to go, yep. Or the person like 2 inches away from you. It was like, well, what kind of stupid pass is that? But so I've only got a couple of games left in the regular season, and I got about another 2 training sessions before I can upgrade my player again, so I should be able to get to 91, I reckon.
Have you been playing any mini golf?
No, I've not really done any of the
connection,
and there's been a couple where you miss out on 150 fans and that, like Julius Irving and that, but
Dr. J, the doctor.
Yeah, I know. The only one that I did do was the Jordan Brand connection one to try and, what I was thought was going to help unlock the Jordan thing, so that way I could don't have to spend 3,500 plus VC on sneakers every time I wanted to wear something different in Prime and that. So, that hasn't happened yet. Well, that doesn't unlock. I just got a T-shirt and a couple hundred VC or something. But just trying to get those triple doubles to win, and mainly to focus on those training sessions and that, just to rank up my player another. I said rank, it's just please, if that did come sound wrong, it's please notice my voice right now with this chest infection. So so trying to get that player leveled up just one more time. I want to try and get him to like a 92 before we call it a day in 2K16. So that would be kind of a goal. I do wish that I had done the training session things a lot earlier. I think I could have been pretty close to a 94 or 95 by now if that was the case.
Yep.
If 2K does surprise me and actually fix up a lot of those things, even if I wait a few weeks and sort of see if there's improvements in that, or if the game comes down in price, I might itch and buy it. If I get enough good enough report from you guys that gameplay improvements are there and that, so we'll see what happens. Yeah. And, I probably will end up missing a lot of those moments where if you do play Pro-Am and that, and it's like, all right, I'll bite the bullet.
Yep.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens. So that's what I've been doing with it. And just trying to do those things to try and help get the player leveled up to help the Pro-Am team of it and that, so.
I just realized I did tell a lie. I did play a game this week. I played NBA Jam Tournament Edition for PC because I did an article on Larry Bird in NBA Jam, so I did actually play a game apart from 2K this week, but it was for a feature and very briefly. But again, that is the great thing about an old favorite, especially an arcade game, because they don't really arcade games do age a lot better because they don't have to be sim, so they hold up pretty well. And Jam Tournament Edition is one of my favorite and one of the best, I feel, arcade basketball games ever made. I know a lot of people like NBA Street. On Fire Edition by EA was very good. I would actually say that is the best arcade basketball game I've ever played because of the real AI in it. But I do like my Jam Tournament Edition. So got to play that with Larry Legend and turn all Celtics fans green and put him on the Lakers at one point because you unlock him and then put him on whatever team. Trying to work out what some of his ratings are and everything, because they're all hidden. They're all question marks. So you can check that out on Wayback Wednesday. I was originally going to do a video, but I left it a bit late to do the article, so I couldn't really do a video in time to do that. So maybe I'll do some more Jam Tournament Edition videos, because I do love going back to that game. And maybe next time I'll play with Bernie the Bull on the Bulls. So the code. So before we move on to a couple of real basketball topics. Anything else, Kenny, to wrap up our week in basketball gaming?
I haven't been playing any basketball games. Just been collecting the VC on the app, so that's about it.
Oh, we've been playing the card games, I guess. So.
Do you do
card games? Or
The card games?
The card, the card, the that in the app, you play the game, or do you just do the daily random?
I used to do the game, but I just do the VC now, the daily like the daily whatever it's called.
Oh, like the daily picker or something. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's one. Yeah,
yeah.
That's all I do now.
I haven't done that for a while. I was doing the card game for a while, but it kind of takes a long time to do it, and you've got to do it 10 times to get the 100 or the 50 VC each time, so it does kind of adds up a bit slowly. But I think I got a rare Ricky Rubio, which is a very alliterative appeal right there. So
I actually got a Larry Legend as well, since you were talking about Larry Bird. So yeah, that's my best card in the 2K card game, I suppose.
Very nice. My NBA 2K16, yeah. So, I mean, that is a great idea to get VC, because they certainly can be stingy at times, as we found it in Pro-Am. But so I guess that's our week in basketball gaming. Hopefully next week we've got a bit more of some positive stories to tell you, and less footage of me getting screwed over with a buzzer beater. Because, but with that being said, we have a couple of other topics to discuss before we wrap up this evening. First thing I wanted to note is that LeBron James has finally re-signed with the Cavaliers, and it is the largest deal, a per-year deal in history, I believe, Ben.
Yeah, it is just over $33 million a year, so...
3 years, yeah, 30 million, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah, I guess he was just trying to obviously get as max as he could in a short period of time, so...
So interesting that he didn't do the 1 year deal, but that is obviously a hard money to pass up, and believes in the pressure is off with LeBron, because he's brought a championship to Cleveland within 2 years of returning there. So Larry Bird, Magic Johnson didn't win every year. So although a player who LeBron recently kind of criticized, Michael Jordan, he seemed to win every single year after 1990, but I don't know. Every full season, but just putting it out there. Yes, apparently. I mean, actually, because LeBron said something. Well, I don't actually have the article in front of me, but basically said that maybe Jordan gets too much credit for the Bulls championships, and he was kind of talking about Pippen not getting enough credit, which I do think is actually a fair point in all fairness. But the way he phrased it was classic LeBron, and not the LeBron that I've come to like more after Amy Schumer's train wreck. It was the LeBron that really, really disliked for a few years there. So, so I can't go for the Warriors. I can't go for the Cavs in lieu of the Bulls not being in it there. So, Bulls better do really well, or someone else better step up and be likable, because otherwise, it's going to be a terrible 2017 finals for me. Possibly, it's like, oh, I don't want anyone to win this. Can we just like cancel the finals? But
according to some of the Twitter followers and that have messaged you, you seem to have that kind of power. So
of jinxing
being
people,
able to stop, being able to stop a season. Or people thinking from memory, having people thought you were like basically the NBA kind of.
Oh,
like,
the people, the emails I get complaining about the calls in the playoffs.
Yeah.
This is terrible. I'm a fan. I agree with you. These are bad. I don't know what to do. You know, we've got a forum if you want to join up and join us complaining. You know, we'll welcome more fans. But yeah, we're if we're not being I can understand being mistaken for EA over the years as the NBA Live Series Center, and even being mistaken for the developers or being affiliated with the developers. But the real NBA, I mean, that's like just NBA.com. You know, I don't think that... David Stern never really made his email address public to send people. And he, hey, give me your feedback on how I'm running the league. Yeah, that'll go really well. I'm sure you get a lot of lovely emails about that. But once again, send your complaints about the officiating to Ben at NBA-live.com. Where we'll be sure to read
I look forward to reading them. I
look forward to sorting through
when I receive them.
I should set it up now. The forwarding address. Very cruel. So LeBron, pot shots his remarks aside. I mean, maybe he doesn't. Maybe Dwayne Wade doesn't get enough credit for, and Bosch doesn't get enough credit for the two Miami championships. Maybe LeBron doesn't get enough blame for the losses in the finals. You know, we could fire shots all night, but he's a lot more successful at basketball than us, so it's just going to sound like sour grapes. But, I mean, so, hell of a lot of money, obviously, and I'd say he's probably earned that with what he's done with the Cavs the last couple of years. I guess I'm kind of surprised that he did win the three-year deal, because he probably could get another, unless there's an opt-out clause I'm not aware of. Although I think he might, I don't know if he's re-signed or just agreed to it, I can't remember now. But I guess if there's an opt-out clause, he could opt out and then get the $50 million a year if that becomes a thing, with the way the salaries are just going up and up and up. I mean, surely the cap's going to be $200 million next year. At which point Isaiah Thomas returns to the Knicks and still gives out a bad contract to pick and still manages to mess up the cap situation for the Knicks with a $200 million salary cap. That would be incredible.
Rodney Stuckey becomes a $200 million contract.
Oh, man. $200 million a year for Stuckey. It's just... and just like at this point, Bulls, of all the Bulls and Knicks rivalry, I'm just looking at fellow Knicks fans, fellow Knicks fans, my fellow basketball fans who, you know, Knicks fans, and say, I feel sorry for you. It's just, I thought I had it bad with some of the Bulls management decisions, but no, that's terrible. that's what's going on with LeBron. LeBron's also said that he's not retired from the Olympics, that he's just taking a break. I guess that's just like how he is entering the dunk contest. to be fair, he has, six straight finals, probably a lot of mileage on his body at this point, these last 6 years, very deep runs in the playoffs, so if he wants to take a summer off, I do think he's entitled to that. So, no LeBron on Team USA kind of bodes well for the rest of the world. Speaking of which, the 2016 Olympic tournament rolls on, and guys, how fantastic is it to be an Aussie at this point?
Really good on the, if you're a Boomers fan, maybe not so much for the Opals, like their surprise exit.
That was kind of heartbreaking, that final minute of that game.
Yeah, well, the 28. It was about 28 turnovers. Did not help at all. But
The turnover discrepancy was incredible, in the worst possible way. So
yeah, it was definitely not a polished performance from them. So yeah, I mean, they really didn't probably deserve to win the game because of that, like the turnover side of things and their lack of team movement. But yeah, I think
yeah, finally,
I think
really
yeah,
sloppy.
I think that instance where Lewis Cambridge did go for the layup, a little tip-in sort of thing, and she ended up on the ground, I think there should have been a foul call there. I think in that case it was a player safety issue because the other player had kind of tunneled under her in that sense, and that for me is a huge irk as a player and a coach that would happen, because I've seen people try and do that to players that I've coached in that, and it's not good.
There's physical and then there's just dangerous and dirty.
Yeah. But the way the Boomers have played, they've been really good and just really happy with the way that they've performed in that. So I'm hoping that they continue on, not just past the next round, obviously. I'm hoping that they can really be a good medal threat in that sense. Like, if they can go for their silver, I'll be proud. Like, I'll be happy with that.
Absolutely. Yeah, and one more win, and they are actually in there. You know, they are basically locked up a medal. It is either going to be gold or silver. I would still favor Team USA at the end of the day at this point, although they certainly had a good showing against them in the preliminary round. But to beat Lithuania 90-64, you know, knocking down all those threes and some very slick passing by Bogut. Aaron Baines, I thought he was going to rip the backboard down. I said it a couple of times to you, and I said it on Twitter again, but that backboard looked very rubbery as he was just yanking it down. It was I was waiting for it to come down, but obviously very happy to see him because he was born in New Zealand, wasn't he, Aaron Baines?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
he was.
But once again, Australia claims something from New Zealand. And, is one of our, although, to be fair, that's that was his choice. So, it's just been awesome to see Kenny. You know, just to see them. You know, after so many years of heartbreak and the fourth place finish in the 2000 Olympics. You know, our home. Country advantage. And to finish fourth and losing that bronze medal game and all the finishing outside the getting the tough draw in other competitions, other Olympics in recent years and everything. For this to be the finally a chance, a legitimate chance at a medal, you know, I say pushing my jinx further and further onto them as I say it. But having this really great run, they are the last Australian team standing for the team sports in the Olympics. So the Hockey Roos, who have been very successful over the years, are out and not getting a medal, which was surprising. Maybe I don't follow the hockey that close enough to know what their chances were, but that traditionally we've been pretty good, so I will take that as a surprise. But so this, they are the last Australian team for team sports standing at the Olympics. So, it's kind of cool to see Australia kind of get behind them, especially with basketball not always having the best reputation in the country.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think there was a stat like from when Australia played USA that was one of the highest watched events in terms that more people watched or streamed that as opposed to the Melbourne Cup. And the Melbourne Cup's like one of our biggest...
A huge deal, sporting
Yeah, you know, it's one of our biggest sporting events in the year where basically people are wanting a day off from, you know... Let's call for it to be like a national public holiday and stuff because of it.
Victoria it is, I believe.
Yeah. So, it's great to see them and, you know, the support again. And, yeah, and hopefully, again, it bodes well with our national league and in the long run as well. Like, because we got a few of those guys. It's about five of the guys that will be playing in the national league this year. So, you know, they're playing well. It draws the crowds. Yeah, so it's hopefully a good thing in terms of that, and hopefully leads to another or a solid free to wear deal as well instead of just being on pay TV. So yeah, just fingers crossed that that's all going to happen and that for our league and in that sense. And
of course, great for the NBA players, the Aussies in the NBA. We've got some great representation there. So it's.
Yeah.
It's a good time for Australian basketball, and it'd be great if we can, you know, finish that off and get into that gold medal game, and hopefully give the USA, presumably, a run for their money. I mean, the way the Boomers are talking, they're talking going for gold, which is obviously you certainly aim for it. I do like their confidence, the way they're playing. We were messaging back and forth as we were watching the game, all of us yesterday. And I know, Kenny, that you were a little disappointed that Jingles didn't dunk.
I mean, he made a really nice defensive play. And how tall is he? Like 6'7", 6'8"? Surely he could have gotten up and dunked that. But yeah.
He stuck
it's the Andrew Gaze play.
Yeah,
being 6'7" and not dunking.
I just want to add, like, what a contrast it was between the Opals and the Boomers. Like, the Opals completely lacked ball movement, whereas the Boomers moving the ball around all over the place, playing basically, I don't want to say Spurs basketball, but a brand fairly similar to that. Like, none of them are really that selfish, although I think I did make that joke about Patty Mills and how Pop will probably want him to rein it in when he gets back with the Spurs. But they're all sharing the ball around well.
Sharing the sugar?
Exactly. you might want to watch your sugar content. I think the Olympics has also dispelled this myth about Dellavedova being like a scrub as well, because he's played fantastically, like both like against really quality opposition as well.
Yeah.
And I just want to go back to the Opals for a second and say that they had a lot of turnovers in the game, but Liz kept them in it because there were times where she was double, triple teamed, still fighting out of it and getting to the basket. And I'm just amazed, like, that she hasn't become a bigger basketball player than she is now, because I think she could have an awesome career in the WNBA, and I don't even think she has a team at the moment. It's like, I was watching her, and like, I know it's such a trite comparison to make, but there were times where she looked like a female version of Shaq. Like, there was nobody who could guard her. Like, yeah, she was doing what she wanted down low, and she, you know, kind of reminded me.
Despite the injuries and foul trouble,
they were cracking her down too. Like,
yeah,
that last play where she got the no call. Like, yeah, they were all over her, and she still managed to like dominate in offense. So
also, I believe that her she's insisted that her surname is to pronounce Cambridge as well.
Cambage.
Cambage, is it? Cambage.
Yeah, Cambage. They were noting that like quite a fair bit during the coverage, but
we'll also say obviously Lauren Jackson, great place, but she's still adjusting to commentary as well. She's not does not have the excitement of an Andrew Gaze yet.
No.
That's another contrast. But yeah.
I think it's also the guy that Lauren Jackson's commentating with. You know, he makes a lot of mistakes, and
yeah.
Yeah, you kind of, like, I'm tired of his voice. It's like, oh, dude, shut up.
Every time I heard her talk, I was just like, man, that is such a missed opportunity, having her and Liz in the paint, just down low, like, dominating. Yeah. Oh, my God, that could have been a gold medal.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess injury kind of got in the way, and, yeah, probably wasn't her choice, but...
Incidentally, Jingles is 6'8".
Okay.
So he's taller than me. Damn.
Yeah. So throw it down, Jingle Man. Throw it down. And especially in the gold medal game. You've got a breakaway in the gold medal game. Got to put that down. So,
and not an NBL dunk.
NBL dunk.
I would take an NBL dunk, you know. I don't want us to see him lay it in on a fast break like that.
We do have Bogut and Baines. So they can put some NBA dunks down. So they
True.
Foot, yeah, they keeps entertained, and of course, Patty Mills putting up those threes. So feeling optimistic about the chances of a medal, and which is, I don't think I've ever been able to say that before, really.
No, and. Seeing the movement and even the inside play and that, it makes me optimistic that they're just not going to rely on the three ball, which has been our downfall when we're not shooting them. We're like,
yeah,
we're cold. You know, when we think we're like the Golden State Warriors, when we're not, and that's been our trap. That's been our downfall in the past.
The Shane Heal era was saw a lot of that. Yeah,
yeah. So the fact that we have an inside presence now. We have a couple of guys that can work the key in that, and that we know how to pass. And the fact that they know how to pass, and because Bogut is one of the best in like big passing big men. So that plays an advantage. Sure. So I'm optimistic, and even if we get third or fourth, I'm pretty proud with that, and I really look forward to seeing what happens in 2 and 4 years' time with Simmons and Thon Maker and Exum and all that stuff on the side.
We've got a
pretty interesting future ahead of us in that sense, and hope that we get a couple more like up and coming players in the NBA and say in the next 4 to 8 years as well. So yeah, it's interesting time, good times ahead for us in that sense.
Feeling very patriotic these days, at least in a basketball sense. Some other things in Australia are not so great at the moment, but that's a subject for another podcast, perhaps. But absolutely optimistic. It's great to see them playing so well as a team. Some great team basketball, as you say, Kenny. Not to draw too many comparisons to the Spurs, although of course there is a member of the Spurs on the team and a former
an ex member as well,
So of that 2014 championship team, so. Yeah, it's we'll see how it goes, and fingers crossed that the strong play continues. Serbia might be a tough one, But although they did beat them in the preliminaries, didn't they?
Yeah, we beat them in the preliminaries. It was by at least 15.
So hopefully the strong play continues, and this time next week we're talking about maybe at least a silver medal?
I'm hoping so. I'd like that.
We will see. But we are reaching the end of episode number 172 of the NLSC podcast. You know what that means, because we have a three-man booth. It's trivia time! So, trivia time. The game we play every week, it is a trivia game. Funnily enough, as the name suggests, I ask a question to Ben, and then to Kenny. Well, actually, Kenny, you're in the lead, so it'll be you first again this week. And if you get it wrong, then Ben can jump in, and vice versa. Then the third question, which I will select, whoever jumps in first can answer that and get the point. So, with that being said, Kenny, you are in the lead still, 9-8. Ben, you caught up last week. Very nicely done.
Yeah, and I could have tied it up last week. Damn it.
But, like the Opals, you missed at the buzzer. Too soon?
Yeah.
Too soon? Hey, they played well. They played well. As did you, and Kenny has obviously had a pretty good run too. And Kenny, you, as I said, you are in the lead, so you get to choose the first question this week. And I'm almost out of them, so I'm going to do some work. But we have 2, 5, 7, 8, 14, and 17 are left on the board from the 18 I made up, I guess 6 weeks ago.
I'll take 2.
Take 2. Okay, your question is, NBA Live 96 had 2 different covers. What were they? What were on the 2 different covers for NBA Live 96?
Oh no. Yeah, 96. Let's see. I'm thinking this is back in the time where they had like teams instead of individual players, so guessing the Bulls might have been on one of them playing against I don't know. I really don't know. No idea.
No idea? Okay. No idea is incorrect.
Was it Orlando and Houston? 1 year? One cover? And I don't think it was Lakers and Celtics. Ninety-six.
So who do you say was on the first cover?
Orlando and Houston.
Orlando and Houston, okay.
And
I will say you've got that part right. So you got that right, but to get the point, you've got to get the second cover.
Okay. That's what I'm trying to think. Phoenix and Blazers? I don't know. The second?
Second cover, is that your final answer?
Yeah, I'm probably going to get that one wrong, but
You did, but you were so close, actually, with the first answer. The two covers for NBA Live 96 was a shot of the 95 finals with Houston and Orlando. And the cover player was Shaq. Shaq appeared on the cover of the PC and PlayStation 1 versions of the game, whereas all the other versions of the game had the shot of the finals, similar to the shot of the finals on the 95 cover. So okay. Only time they've done that in live history, that they've had the two, and it's ever since then they have had the lone cover players, with starting with Mitch Richmond in NBA Live 97. So I probably can't use that as a trivia question now, but I'll throw that out there anyway. But
yeah, I didn't know about the Shaq thing. Like, I thought, I was kind of playing, I was thinking, like, I didn't think they went a cover athlete and like a proper one until the following year, and that. So that's why I was thinking it was a team one again.
Yeah, but no, they did Shaq. Actually, that was the first game that Sean O'Brien worked on, NBA Live 96, and I actually took my original NBA Live 96 box over there last year and brought that out at the event, much to the amusement of everyone, and showed Sean, and he was sort of appreciative of the memories of seeing that old cover and the kind of features that were advertised in the back of the box.
Okay.
So, Ben, it is up to you to decide. Two is off the board, so you've got 5, 7, 8, 14, and 17.
I'll go 5.
Go 5. In which version of NBA 2K did my career, then just called my player, make its debut?
I think it was 2K11.
K11, final answer?
Maybe I should have been... it wasn't 2K10 then.
Which one do you go for?
I'll say 2K11.
Say 2K11? It's not 2K11. Kenny?
I'm going to go with 2K10.
2K10, you got it. It is 2K10.
Damn it!
I did play my player in 2K10, so...
That, of course, had the D League we could go through, which a lot of people would like to see return.
Oh, that was great. I'd love to see that return. Is there any reason why they took it out?
I guess maybe a lack of interest, or they wanted to go in a different direction where you were a superstar. I guess they have to be careful about how they do it these days because of the link to Pro-Am. I saw the suggestion in the forum that maybe someone... actually, I think it might have actually been Peace Man Not had the suggestion of how you could have different starting points for my career, which I do like, but the suggestion was made to have a 40 overall player, which might be a bit too low. For 2K Pro-Am, might need to... find a way to balance those options between the modes, but I definitely like the idea of being able to have, you know, being able to start as a star or a role player, or, you know, really work your way up as a bench warmer. That would be cool, but which you could do in 2K10 is the. So I will pick a number 17, and your question, which the first to get it will get the point. Jump in when I finish. Who was the original play-by-play man for NBA Live?
Van Lundquist.
Van Lundquist. Ooh. So I haven't actually got Vern down, but I actually... Did he do play-by-play in NBA Live 98, or did he...
I thought he did play-by-play in 98, but I could be mistaken.
Let me just double-check that. Actually, you are right, and I've actually got the wrong answer down, because I forgot about Vern Lundquist, but I'll just look it up on the wiki... And that's right, he did do it, so you get the point. Yes, I actually had the wrong answer down, which was Don Poyer, former Grizzlies announcer, who unfortunately died January 21st, 2005. But no, you are actually right. That was Vern Lundquist did play-by-play in NBA Live 98. So congratulations on correcting me on that. Blunder, that could have been really bad. So it helps if the trivia master actually has the right answers to the questions. Yes, very well spotted and named, Kenny. So that's you pull out again this week, 11 to 8. But you were very close, Ben, and you.
I know.
And you know, so close on the 96 cover.
Undid all that hard work for last week, but it's all right.
It's like 2K Pro-Am, it's all in fun, right? So.
Yeah. Yeah, until the controller's thrown or get screwed on points.
Or some just swear at the screen after a terrible pass out of bounds.
But yeah, no, I admit, I don't think I was ever going to get that third question. When it comes to commentators, I'm not too great on the names and stuff. And,
right.
And that, so I know that's going to be one of my weaknesses and stuff. So, yep.
Well, I was trying to avoid those, but I've actually run out of commentator questions in this latest batch, so it's all good. One last thing before we wrap up, a really cool story, we all sort of enjoyed the man who played pickup basketball, completely dressed as Michael Jordan. MJ reached out to him with a bunch of gear and a phone call. That was pretty cool. One of the nicer stories from the past week.
Yeah, and you know, from seeing original sort of video and photo of the guy, I didn't realize that apparently this guy has autism and that. So, yeah, it was a good all round story in the end. You know, yeah, it was kind of funny, you know, seeing him all dressed up, but, you know, it was to the point of almost like a meme kind of thing, but...
I mean, at the same time, it's like, that's pretty cool, you know, have fun, dude. It's like, okay, well, I guess that, you know, there's also some issues on top of that, but, yeah, really cool that MJ, I mean, you can be cynical and say that's good PR, which it obviously is, but, you know, MJ's obviously done a lot of stuff for charities and all that kind of thing over the years, so good to reach out.
Yeah, just gave like $5 million to like what was it again? It was like a Black Music or the Black History Museum or something like that.
Something
he just gave
like that,
donated.
Yeah. I know he's also donated to some of the recent some groups who are working on stopping all this violence against the black community from the police and with everything.
Yeah,
he did that
about a month ago. Yeah. So you know he's for you know criticisms that he gotten in earlier in his days and that you know he is starting to change.
He's always been pretty charitable. It's just it's like a lot of pro athletes. And celebrities and all of us are human beings. You know, he's a human being at the end of the day, despite the fact that a lot of his feats on the court suggested he was from some other planet, some other world. There's times when he's probably been a difficult teammate. That's well documented. Sam Smith wrote a book about it, The Jordan Rules. So, no one's any one thing, and no one's always bad or good. Well, we won't go that far. There's been some pretty bad people in history, but. Certainly, you know, these people that we think maybe have a public image of one thing or the other. You know, no one's evil 24/7. And even some of the evil people in history probably like their pets. So they redeeming thing you could say about some of the monsters that have come along in history. But certainly MJ is not one of them. And cool to see him reach out to obviously a big fan and do something nice for them. So that has brought us to the end of episode number 172 of the NLSC podcast. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed recording it. We'll be back next week, of course. In the meantime, we invite you to subscribe to the show on iTunes or keep streaming on the NLSC, of course, whichever way you prefer to catch us. You can also listen to us on the go on the Stitcher app. Just search NLSC podcast and there we are. As always, we also invite you to connect with us on social media. We're on Twitter at the NLSC and on Facebook. Like us at facebook.com/the NLSC. And as always, keep it locked to the NLSC itself, nba-live.com, for everything we do with basketball video games. So until next week, I'm Andrew.
I'm Akeem.
And I'm Kenny.
And we're going for the gold.